Awful lot to be thankful for. Praise God for what He's done. You know, there's a couple of things that I was just thinking about as we were sitting there and just listening to the songs, and even in the songs that we sang there in the choir. And there was one line of the song that we sang as a choir that really stood out to me, that really made me think. I just want to reiterate it to you. Lord, You formed me out of the clay, and for Your glory I was made. Use this vessel as You choose. Let my life, O Lord, praise You. Let that be the contemplation of every one of our hearts, and the understanding of why we are here. We are made in the image of God to glorify God in all things. Amen? God has been awful good. And I was thinking how fortunate we are here at Bluestone. All of the beautiful talent that we have in the singing, and I was thinking about everyone who came together with the cooking ministry on Friday night. We came to fellowship there, and I was thinking of the board, and I thank you, Lou, for how she always keeps that board up to date out there in the lobby, so to speak, and decorates that for us. And thank you to Ginger, who always has such nice displays ready for us with the flowers. And there are so many other things. Thank you to Susan for taking care of the prayer list. We always have that nice sheet ready to go for us. Thank you to everybody for all the things that you do. Because today's service is titled A Life of Service. So I wanted to thank everyone for everything that you do. So as I said earlier, that this is a day of remembrance. It's a day which we dedicate to the men and the women which have served and are currently serving in the military. And I encourage everyone again to take a look out there at that table this morning. And as you look at these things, as you look at the pictures, you look at the writings, you look at all of the memorabilia from these lives which are a life of service, the thing that I want you to think about isn't just the sacrifice, it's not just the valor, it's not just all these great things that come to mind. The most important thing I want us to think about is the life of service and the heart behind there. And you know, I was thinking too, I told Zach I was gonna tease him a little bit this morning. I'd almost forgotten about it as I was going through our announcements. You know, Zach was at State here this past week, weren't you? He was part of the Beta Club, and he did pretty well. Said second place, right, over the whole state. Well done, Zach. Well done, buddy. Proud of you. Goodness gracious. So this morning, please keep that as a forefront of your mind is a life of service. We should all have a life of service. Join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before You this morning, Lord. We bow humbly before the throne of grace which You've invited us to come before. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for our lives. We thank You for our families, Lord, for all the many blessings that we have. Father, we thank You for our freedoms. We thank You for the nation that we live in, Lord, for we know that it is blessed by Your grace, Lord, and touched by Your unfailing mercy that we are able to live and to enjoy the freedoms that we have. Father, we thank You for those men and the women that, Lord, You have done a mighty work through in preserving those freedoms, Lord. We also acknowledge, Lord, that it is through our freedoms, Lord, that we should be using that opportunity that we have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means by which men might be saved. Father, we thank You for our church family, Lord, for those that are here and those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord. We pray that You'd be with each and every one of us, Lord, that You'd bless us and that You'd use us mightily. Father, we pray that, Lord, You'd be with me this morning as I come to give the message that You've laid upon my heart. Father, help me to speak it clearly. Help me to teach it clearly. Lord, help each and every one of us to have a heart and ears that are open to receive, Lord, attention, Lord, to Your message. Father, help each and every one of us to have a life that is dedicated to service, Father, to Your service in the kingdom. Lord, we pray that You'd be well pleased and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would please turn with me, we're going to begin here in the New Testament, head to Luke chapter 10, that's where we'll be beginning, and we'll be hopping around just a little bit this morning, but that will be our starting place, and I will be heading down to verse 30, so if you want to head to verse 30, that'd be great. I want to speak to you this morning again about service. I want to speak to you not just about what service is, but why service is. If you have your Bibles, please head over to Luke 10. So if you got down to verse 30 there, we'll begin with that. It says, "And Jesus, answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at this place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said in reply to Christ, the one he was speaking to, said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts I want to share with you concerning this passage of Scripture, which has come to be well known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. But before I give you my thoughts, let me share with you the thoughts of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He says quite accurately, the first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? What will happen to me? The Good Samaritan, however, reversed the question. He said, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? You see, Dr. King understood something. He understood that there are two frames of mind, two views here, which are clearly seen. And they have to come from the heart. That's where these thought patterns, this way of seeing the world originates from. It's from within us. The first two, the priest and the Levite, which, what are Levites called to be? Priests, right? They're called to be holy, sanctified unto God, right? So we see these first two people, which are supposed to be righteous, which are supposed to be the followers of God, which are supposed to be setting the example in the righteousness and the mercy and the grace of God for all the people, to be the mediators between the people of the Jews and between God, right? Because at this time, Christ had not yet come, and so the Levites had that duty, right? We see them whose heart was not accurate. They were going through the motions, but the inner man was more concerned with themselves than it was with this man that needed their help. But the Good Samaritan who came along, though he honestly had no business there, according to the way in which these two peoples regarded each other, they weren't exactly friends. The Good Samaritan, he seen the man and wasn't concerned about what would happen to him as the priest and the Levite were. The priest and the Levite, they were worried about a number of things. First of all, what'll happen to me? As I said, these two people groups, they did not get along together. They kept themselves separate. This is for the same reason that whenever Jesus came to the woman at the well, who was a Samaritan, she said, Why are you asking of me for water? We don't speak together. We don't drink or eat together. We don't share company, Jews and Samaritans, right? So they were concerned about, well, will I be unclean if I help this man who's a Samaritan? If I help this man, will I have any problems? Will it slow down my day? Will I not be able to take care of the things that I need to be taking care of? But the Samaritan, the man who, according to the customs at that time, really wouldn't have ordinarily stopped, he put those things aside and he thought to himself, what's righteous? What would the Lord have of me? He thought not of himself, but of the other man. And so we see a stark contrast, a difference between the priest and the Levite. And the reason that I bring up this passage of Scripture, the reason I speak of this concerning service, is it shows us the heart of what service comes from, where service originates from. It originates from a selfless love, a love that is not focused on ourselves. That's where service originates from a selfless love. And I want us to think about this as we remember our veterans today. Let's not remember only the sacrifices they've made, but more so the love which has motivated them to make those sacrifices. They've made these sacrifices, this time away from their families. Some paid the ultimate price. Everyone paid some. They pay that price, that sacrifice, out of love. Love for their nation, love for their people, love for the righteousness and the freedoms that we endure, love for the grace of God, the love for the gospel message that we're able to give freely here, that nowhere else is that possible. It's out of love, a desire to protect, a desire to comfort, a desire to take the fight. Like the men in this parable, we have a choice to make. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, they all had a choice. And the choice that they had to make is, what would they do with this man? That's the choice that they had. We have a choice as well. The choice that we have to make is much the same. We have to ask ourselves two questions. First of all, if service originates from love, first of all, who do we love? The priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan clearly loved themselves more than this man. The second question that we have to ask isn't only who do we love, who will we serve? Who will we serve? And I've said this many times, it's something that my old pastor used to say, and it's right on with the message this morning, is each and every one of us, we're going to serve someone. Everyone serves someone, but there's only two options on the shelf: serving God or serving self. The Levite and the priest served themselves, but the Good Samaritan, he was serving God and showing mercy to this man. He was the neighbor. I want to take you now to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Now, this scripture is often referenced when we speak about missionaries being sent out to give the gospel, right? Often you'll see this scripture as a reference when we're speaking about missionaries and the work of missions. However, it is equally applicable to everyone, everywhere. The reason is because it is out of a grateful heart, out of love for God, that Isaiah jumped and made himself available to be used of God. You see, God could have done it without Isaiah. God can do anything that he desires to do. But Isaiah chose in his heart to be a willing vessel for the work that God had for him. Out of love for God, Isaiah responded to the call to serve the Lord. He said, "Here am I, send me." This morning, as we think about what service is, and we think of those who have served, let us also think that we ourselves are called to serve. Let "here am I, send me, use me," let that be the contemplation of our heart as God calls us into the work of the ministry, regardless of where we are, who we are, or what role we serve. Everyone has a part to play in the work that Christ is doing for man, through man. Everyone has a part to play. And I say that there's a note that I wrote here at the bottom I want to share with you. We often don't think about this, but I hope that you realize that we can serve the Lord at home, in the four walls of our home, through the testimony of our lives, to our families, especially you parents, you who are sons and daughters, children, you as well, through the testimony that you have between your siblings and with your parents. You can be a testimony of the grace of God and the work of God. We serve at work. The testimony of our lives at our work. Do we take the message of God to our fellow workmen? Do we share with them through not only the words that we speak, but through the work that we do with them? We can share on the road as we travel to and from. You say, "Well, maybe I'm not really going anywhere today. I'm just going to go stop up here at Angels and grab a few things and head to the house." There are people at Angels. There are people at Kroger. There are people at the gas station who may not know the Lord. you can serve. You can serve at dinner, discussion among your family and your friends. Anywhere that we go, we can have a heart of and for service to our Lord. The second thing I want to point out about service is that Christ's life was a life of service. Christ's life was a life of service. That's the example that he set for us. And if we are to follow in the footsteps of Christ, then you and I must also have a life of service. Join me, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. It says, "But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles," these are those who at this time are considered to be outside of the family of God, those who are not of the fold, "they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." That term minister can be translated as to care for, to serve. We see clearly that the Word of God in the Scriptures identifies Christ as coming as a servant, coming humbled, coming to minister, not to be ministered to. This is an example that he set for us in his earthly ministry that we are to follow. You may not realize this, but the life and ministry of Jesus Christ during his time on this earth had twofold purposes. First and foremost, I believe everyone here should know, I hope that you know. If you don't, I pray that you will by the time end of this message. His first purpose was to be the propitiation for our sins, to serve as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, the means by which man's sin may be washed away and we able now to have a relationship with our holy God. That was the first thing. But there was another reason that he came. Jesus Christ, in the life and ministry during his time here, also served to be our example as to how we should live in relationship with God. All throughout Jesus' life, look at the way that he responded to the people. Look at the things which were priority in his life. We see a couple of things that are priority. First and foremost, we see prayer. Prayer was a priority for Christ. Following prayer, we see service, ministering unto people. His life was defined, it was marked as a mark of service in all that he did. So too shall ours be if we are following the Lord, if we are following in his footsteps. Now, I want to point out too that Christ lived to do the will of the Father. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He came here, yes, as God, holy God, absolutely, but he was also serving. He was making himself submissive to the will of the Father. He came serving the Father, the one who sent him. If God himself humbles himself enough to make himself a servant unto man on behalf of God the Father, shouldn't we also do the same? To make ourselves a servant to God? And in doing so, serve man. I want to point out a couple of other things. Things that Jesus Christ did during his ministry involved things like healing the sick. He cured the incurable. He fed the hungry. He taught the foolish. He led the lost. And he saved the condemned. During his time with the disciples, serving was a constant in their lives and in Christ's teaching. It was indeed a life of service. You may also recall that Jesus once washed the feet of his disciples. And this is a work which, if you may not know this, that work was a work which was reserved for servants, for slaves. This is not the work that was done by a master, for a master did not wash his servants' feet. A master did not minister unto his servants. At least, this is not the custom of the times. However, Christ did. Christ washed the feet of the disciples. Allow me to read a passage of Scripture there from John 13 concerning this. Christ, after he had done this, he speaks to the disciples and he says to them, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Folks, the reason I point out that specific scripture is because I want to make it clear that you and I are not greater than our master either. We are not greater than our master. If Jesus is our Lord, if he is our master, and he lived a life of service to set an example, we ought to do the same. Now, many reject this notion of service, and the reason is because of a problem that we have within ourselves concerning pride, the pride of life. No, I'll be subject to no man. I'll make myself servant to none. I'll not lower myself like that. We like to think of ourselves as great. We desire to be great. Whenever kids play, no one usually wants to be the bad guy. Everyone wants to be the hero, right? Whenever they're playing games with each other. Whenever we go to do something, everyone wants to be the one who saves the day. Everyone wants to be the great one, right? That's the thoughts of the mind of man. But that's not the example that Christ set. That's not the example that Christ set. You see, desiring to be a great man or a master is natural to humanity. But Scripture tells us that the path to greatness is humility. The reason that we get this so mixed up, the reason we have such a problem with this, is because we are missing the standard by which God measures greatness. We are messing up the standard by which God measures greatness. We measure greatness as men by what we accomplish, what we do, what we are able to achieve, what we're able to accomplish. God measures greatness by what we are willing to do for God, by what we do in obedience to God, our willingness to humble ourselves before God. Matthew 22, 10 through 12 says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." This morning, remember those who serve, and imitate them serving others, for that is the example that Christ set for us. Remember those who have served, and imitate those who serve, for that's the example that Christ set. So our second point was that Christ's life was a life of service. So shall ours be, if we are in Him. Final point this morning is that we are called to service. It's not optional. If we are the people of God, not only should we serve, we are called to serve. A little bit of a difference there. One is what we ought to do because it's right. The other is, this is what we are commanded to do. This is what we are commanded to do. Now, there are people across the world, and I was once one of these, which call themselves Christians, which claim the title, which are rarely seen taking up the cause for Christ. In my younger years, I've shared with many, I was one of them. I was one who would come to church, who dressed the part, who talked the part, but my life was missing the mark of Christ, which is seen in the fruits that come from God, the fruits of the Spirit. I was simply hollow inside, looking like a whitewashed tomb, as the Bible would say. Many have that case today. Many people are filling churches this very morning, claiming the name of Christ, yet have no fruit to offer for it. Why? Because they are not living to serve, they are living to be served. Pleasing man and not God. I want to share with you a story that I came across while I was preparing for this message, and I thought that it very adequately expressed what I'm trying to express to you this morning. Once there was a preacher, and he was standing at the front door, as I often do, shaking hands with people as they came in and came out of the service. And as he was doing so, one young man who he hadn't seen in some time came by, and the pastor stopped him and put his hand on his shoulder and shook his hand and said, "Where have you been? You need to get serious for the Lord. You need to join up and get into the service of God." The man replied to him. He said, "Well, preacher, I've been coming here for years. I am in the service of God. I'm in the Lord's service." The preacher replied to the young man, "Well, if you're in the service of the Lord, how come we never see you? I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing. Is there something that I've missed? I only see you on maybe Christmas or maybe on Resurrection Sunday." And the man replied to him, "Oh, well, that's because I'm in the secret service." And although it was supposed to be a comical message, a comical story that the person was trying to use it for, I think he was trying to just get some laughs as he made his point, I didn't find it funny. And the reason that I didn't find it funny is because it's accurate. It seems as if that's how a lot of people feel. Well, it doesn't matter that I'm not actually doing anything for the Lord. It doesn't matter that I'm not producing any fruit. It doesn't matter that my heart isn't really dedicated to Him, that my life isn't for Him. I'm here, so obviously I'm a Christian. Obviously I follow the Lord. Why? Because I say I do, irregardless of what my life says. Many of you surely remember that some years ago, and many of you very well may have taken part in this, voluntold, as they say, there was a time in our nation's history, some years ago, when we had something called the draft. We had a requirement for soldiers. We needed men to fight. And so our nation called upon the men of our nation to come and to serve. Now, interesting thing about the draft, it wasn't voluntary, all right? If you belonged to the nation and you met the requirement, which was to be 18, good health, you could be called on. And when you were called on, you were to come. It wasn't optional. There's no volunteering. If you belonged to the nation, you fought for the nation. That was the whole purpose of the draft, right? To fill a requirement. Now, the reason that I bring up the draft is I'd like to, in a small way, compare the draft to the life of the Christian. If you belong to Christ, as the men in the draft belonged to the nation, right? We didn't call on people from Timbuktu to come serve and fight in the wars. We didn't call on people from Australia. We didn't call on the French and pull them into the fight involuntarily. We called upon those who belonged to our people. If you belong to the people of God, if you are called by His name, if you claim the cross of Christ, then you are drafted into the service of Christ. It is not voluntary. Now, it's voluntary to join into the nation, so to speak. It's voluntary to come to Christ, because that's the only way it can happen. It's a drawing of the Spirit. We choose God. If we have chosen God, though, we cannot choose to serve or not to. If we are with the Lord, if we are His, our service is required. It's commanded. It's not an option. So we have to ask ourselves, am I serving? If you're not, then the question next needs to be asked, am I in the nation? It's a fair question. It's a scary question. If we are in the nation, we ought to be serving. I want to encourage you to come with me to Matthew 25. You should just be a few chapters back, so hop forward just a few chapters to Matthew 25. I want to show you that serving others is serving God. Serving others is serving God. not simply to serve them out of the love for them, which is good, we are to have love for them, but the love which compels us, the love which drives us to serve for them, is a love for them that we have because of our love for God. The love that we have for them is because of our love for God. We serve them because of our service to God. Christ came and gave his life because he was doing the will of God the Father. That's why he said, not my will, but thy will. He came in service. Yes, he loved man. He loves mankind, still loves mankind, died for mankind. But that love is because of the Father. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I didn't know we were going to sing this hymn this morning, but the next thing I was going to speak about is the hymn Onward, Christian Soldier, which, again, we sang this morning. This hymn makes it clear to those who hear it that as Christians, followers of Christ were called to serve, to take the flag of Christ going on before us. We can wave that flag of Christ through the testimony of our lives, through our conversations, and especially through our service. Then Jesus said unto his disciples in Matthew 16, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The point that he's trying to make, take note, and I spoke of this just a moment ago. For whoever shall lose it, whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Why do we do these things? Not so that you and I can be blessed. Not so that the people that we're serving can be blessed, though that is a part of it. We desire that they're blessed. But that's not the motivation behind the heart of service. The motivation behind the heart of service is a love for God. That's the motivation. That's the motivation behind those men and women that have served our nation. That's the motivation that we're called to have as we serve our Lord. In closing, I stated at the beginning of this message that on Veterans Day, we remember those who have served and are serving. And as I close, I'd like to share with you what Christ has done. You and I, we are sinful. Our hearts are much like those of the priest and the Levite. We often focus on ourselves, on our own lives. We get distracted from the things that God has called us to do, and we begin serving ourselves, building up our own kingdom. We allow the reason that we're here, which is to glorify God, to be set on the back burner, to become only a part of what we tend to do with our lives, and we set our focus upon ourselves. We often think only of ourselves. However, the Lord in his infinite mercy and grace saw fit to think of us when he provided his only begotten Son to be a sacrifice. And as much as you and I remember the veterans and thank them for their service, which protect our lives, our family, and our freedoms, be sure also to thank God as well, for it is through those men and women that he has preserved our freedom. Perhaps you've never come to the Lord. Perhaps you've never in your life understood just what's been done for you, what was required for your sins, The price that was paid on Calvary by Christ, a price that you and I deserve to pay, yet did not. In a moment, the congregation is going to sing, and at that time, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you've never rested upon the service that He has done, which is to be the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. If you've never trusted in Him to forgive you, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to make you righteous before God, that heaven would be your home, though that is, again, a perk of a relationship with God. The greatness, the prize of being right with God is being able to be in the presence of God. If you've never done that, then in a moment, as the congregation sings, I invite you to come and I will show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved, how you can have a relationship with Almighty God, who has done so much for you and I. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.